Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. I was going to have a guest. We had it all lined up, but then we had to reschedule. So we will figure that out. We will get back to you that show on a later day. You'll enjoy talking or listening to me talk to that person. But I want to today focus on a couple stories, a couple really annoying, tedious stories that your boy had to either get yelled at about because I have an unpopular opinion on Anthony Davis, or actually write about in the case of Magic Johnson and tampering with the Philadelphia 76ers, or at the very least saying enough that the NBA might still probably investigate the Lakers and their communication line with Ben Simmons. So plenty of stuff to get to today. I want to start with this Anthony Davis thing, and then, you know, in segments 2 and 3, we'll take you through this Magic Johnson debacle, the latest Magic Johnson debacle. Anthony Davis right now is healthy. He is a top 5 player in the NBA. And he is available for the New Orleans Pelicans to play if they want to play him. Problem is, they don't want to. Problem is, him playing, A, risks injury, and his injury risk, as somebody who spends a lot of time in the locker room getting checked up for various injuries that pop up during a game. Though he hasn't missed, I think he's played in like 80% of his games over the course of his career. So it's a little overblown. It just feels like every game or so he's walking back to the locker room to check up on some bumper bruise. So by playing him, the Pelicans would risk injury that would make his trade value lower this upcoming offseason. It would also, by playing him, make it less likely or make it tougher for them to lose enough games to improve their draft stock at this stage of the season. So there's really, organizationally speaking, there's no reason for the Pelicans to play Anthony Davis. This is just another example, though, and this is where my opinion is a little unpopular. This is just the latest example of organizations acting in their own interest, but in spite of the entertainment value that these leagues are supposed to offer to its fans, right? The first example that pops up in my brain are the Spurs, when they used to rest their guys on nationally televised games without enough time for the league to flex out of those games or whatever, and they eventually started getting fined for those things. Tanking as a concept is an example of the same kind of thing, where organizationally and mathematically it makes a lot more sense if your organization can sustain a period of losing a bunch of games in order to improve the chances of landing a superstar in the draft that you can control for the next 7 years. Like, organizationally speaking, that makes a lot of sense. But in terms of an entertainment value, you lose a few years and you might lose a few fans over the idea of losing games on purpose as an organization. Another example right now that's going on in baseball is this idea of luxury tax payments stopping these teams from signing really good baseball players to, honestly, very feasible contracts, right? Like, we've reached a point, at one point in the Bryce Harper saga, it was thought, oh yeah, we'll get $400 million. And then it became, well, he'll definitely get $300 million. And now we're reaching a point where it's like, well, is he going to get two? And this number keeps on dropping, and the spring training is right around the corner, and some of the absolute best players in the league right now, and some of the best free agents that the league has seen come along in quite some time, remain unsigned, right? And it's because the owners and executives there have somehow gotten fans to care about luxury tax payments, which, why? I don't care how, you're a billionaire. Your job is to spend to make sure that you put the best team out there for my rooting interests, right? And you know, in this case, that's probably going to lead to a work stoppage in baseball. I think their CBA is up in 2021. It's probably going to lead to a work stoppage, and that's going to lose all kinds of fans. And I think what my stance here on Anthony Davis is, I want to see a top five player play if he's healthy. I know organizationally it doesn't make very much sense, but I think if you're arguing for an organization over a player, I just don't know what we're necessarily doing there. Like if you're making the case that a top five player in the league should not be playing as he enters his prime for the next 2 months, like what are we doing here? What are you watching sports for? I don't get it. I enjoy watching sports because of the enjoyment I get out of watching some of the best athletes that the world has ever seen go out there and do their thing. And we aren't getting to see that. Or the Pelicans want to make sure that we don't get to see that. And I think that's kind of a bummer. And I think a lot of this is painted by the fact that, like, Anthony Davis very obviously reportedly wanted to be a Laker, right? And I, you know, with Bill Simmons was out there tweeting on the lack of justice, the misjustice that is being carried out here by the league telling the Pelicans to play Anthony Davis. I'm pretty sure if he was being steered towards the Celtics, Simmons would be a little bit quieter on that front, right? And I just think, yes, my own bias probably paints my judgment here too, because he might be a Laker, but I'm not hoping for him to get injured. I just want to watch a really good basketball player play basketball. Like, that's all I want. I don't think that's a lot to ask for. So maybe I'm a weirdo, though. That's the first story that we got to. And I thought that was going to be plenty of stupid. That was going to be enough stupid to get us through the entire day. But Magic Johnson had other plans for us. So coming up here after we pay a couple bills, I'm going to talk about the next dumbest latest thing that the Lakers have put the fans through. We'll get to that here in a second. So, over the weekend, Magic Johnson was asked by a reporter what he thinks, or if he enjoys watching Ben Simmons play. Ben Simmons is this latest 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", guy who is capable of handling the ball, getting out in transition, doing all these insane things. He falls in a line with LeBron, and started with Magic, and then it became LeBron and Giannis doing crazy things there too, and now Ben Simmons looks capable of doing these things as well. Hell, Brandon Ingram is like 6'8", 6'9", and is doing some of these things too. So Simmons is, you know, one of the most promising young players in the NBA, and seeing as Magic was a 6'8 point guard, he was asked, hey, do you enjoy watching Ben Simmons play in this newest iteration of you, basically, as a basketball player? And all Magic had to say was, yes, yeah, it's great. He's just the latest example of crazy talent that's making its way into the NBA. Done. Question's over. Enjoy the rest of the game, guys. I'll talk to you guys next time. He did not do that, the narrator would say. He would then go on to talk about a potential meeting or wanting to, at some point this upcoming summer, work with Ben Simmons on his game and see what type of knowledge he could bestow if Elton Brand and the Sixers and the league offices were okay with those guys doing that. We then heard a report in the morning from, I think, again, it's 975 in Philadelphia, that was Elton Brand saying that he already put the kibosh on that story or that potential meeting, and it's not going to happen. He already said no to that about a month ago, right? So Magic, in answering a question, unprompted and bringing up this potential meeting or these potential mentoring sessions that he was not at all asked about, was going to, he lit a fire under the league's office, basically, to go in and look into these allegations or this potential communication between the Lakers president of basketball operations and a superstar from another team, who, by the way, just so happens to be represented by Rich Paul, who was playing a central figure only a week or so ago in trying to get Anthony Davis to the Lakers, setting off even more red flags in those talks, right? And I guess where I want to start here is, And to I guess before I actually start analyzing this, I want to completely take you guys through the full story. So that's where we got to initially, and then other reports were kind of trickling in throughout the day, and then into the evening, and then later on last night, and I had to write about basically all of them, that Magic Johnson there was a Sixers employee who was asked by a member of Ben Simmons' camp, apparently it was Ben Simmons' brother, asked this Sixers employee and one of the guys who worked for the developmental team in the Sixers to reach out to the Lakers, send an email over there, and ask if Ben can work with Magic on Ben's own request as well, right? So... And upon receiving that email, Rob Pelinka reached out to Elton Brand and asked Elton Brand or told Elton Brand that the Lakers didn't feel all that comfortable with this potential line of communication that the league would eventually look into, right? So the most innocent – and then since then, Elton Brand also released a statement, I believe, to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN saying that, you know, that initial timeline wasn't quite right. And then eventually he reached out directly to Magic Johnson and the Lakers to apologize for initially making it seem as if this was the Lakers asking the Sixers to work out with their young superstar. And at this point where the story leaves off right now, we don't know if the league is going to call off the dogs on the Lakers as it pertains to their dealings with Ben Simmons and Rich Paul and Clutch and all in that entire outfit. We have yet to get any kind of response in either direction to further that. So that's where we're left off right now. And my big thing here is, my first question is, why would a Sixers employee reach out to the Lakers without Elton Brand's knowledge on the subject? He's asking for a cornerstone of that franchise to be able to work with the president of basketball operations on his game in a setting that, you know, would be awkward at the very least and almost impossible not to have tampering take place if you're being cynical, if you're analyzing this from a cynical point of view. So you got that all going on. That's my first question here. My second question here is, why is Magic even taking this? Why is he taking this seriously? I get that as a former great, you want to advance the game of basketball and all that stuff, but you're the president of basketball operations for the Lakers. You're going to go out and help a 76er? That's a little weird, right? And now going back to the Sixers, why would a Sixers employee think to immediately talk to Magic Johnson about this kind of thing? Or why would Ben Simmons' brother bring up Magic Johnson when in Simmons' own agency, the agency that represents him, sits LeBron James, who is a better version of Magic anyway, right, in terms of playing style? So, like, the whole thing, either everybody is really dumb, right? Maybe everybody here is just playing the world's dumbest game of telephone, or there are other things that might be going on here. And given the state of how player movement and personnel movement takes place in the NBA, I just don't think we can play dumb anymore, right? Like, these breadcrumbs that are left out there. Like, as soon as Anthony Davis signed with Clutch Sports, everybody immediately thought, oh man, his free agency's coming up, and guess who else is represented by Clutch Sports? Well, okay, and guess where that led us? Exactly to where we thought we were going to be getting as a result of that decision on Anthony Davis's part. And now we're seeing it again here with Ben Simmons, right, where, wow, he's represented by Rich Paul. He has a very similar game to Rich Paul's top client in LeBron James. LeBron James is a Laker and is looking for all the help he can possibly get out here in Los Angeles. As LeBron's game declines, Clutch Sports would probably love to have one, if not two, members of that agency able to carry on the Lakers brand as LeBron James kind of exits stage left. So you have all of these things going on. It's all these red flags. And I just don't think in 2019 in the NBA, we can play these things stupid. So I think how this is probably going to play out, and we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, I'll talk about Magic's side of these things in particular. But for right now, as a just kind of a wide view of this entire situation, there has to be something else going on. There's probably something else going on, and we'll probably get clarity on that in the next couple days. And the nice thing about a daily podcast is, as we get that clarity, I'll hop right back onto here and talk about that with you guys. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about why it is that Magic probably made the biggest mistake of anybody involved here, and what that might mean for the Lakers moving forward. So this entire thing with Ben Simmons would not be discussed at all. The story would be dead completely. It wouldn't be a sparkle in anybody's eye. It wouldn't be, it would be, it ended apparently at least a month ago, if not further back than that. But Magic answered that question the way that he did. And look, Magic is highly engaging. He enjoys talking. He doesn't like to plan a lot of what he says heading into public speaking occasions, right? He might have a general idea of a message that he wants to get out there, but for the most part, he likes to wing it. And when he wings it, he is susceptible to saying some things that put people, himself, highest among them, in kind of weird situations, right? Kind of awkward situations. And this is the latest example of that. And, you know, I think what the Lakers might have to really think about here is, okay, Magic, we're not going to tell you how to do your job. You wouldn't listen to us if we try to tell you to do how to do your job. But what we need from you and from the rest of the front office here is a better understanding of what words mean as you say them. One thing that you know, and look, this isn't to say that Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss were perfect. They deserved to get fired by the time that they were actually let go. But one thing that I think Mitch Kupchak was always very good at was understanding the way to say a bunch of stuff without saying anything, really, right? Whereas like Magic Johnson, he can't help himself. If he's going to say something, it's going to be loud. It's going to make news. It's going to make headlines. Mitch was very good at avoiding headlines whenever he spoke publicly. It used to be a running joke with Harrison and me on here where Mitch would be asked about a player that they were thinking about drafting or that they were thinking about signing or whatever, and he would just go through their tangibles.
Well, you know, Kobe Bryant came out of high school at a Lower Merion High. He's about 6'8", 6'6 to 6'8 in that range. Incredible athlete. We think he has an incredible work ethic. Oh, what was the question again?
You know, and that's kind of where we would be after every one of his public speaking engagements. And Magic is the opposite guy. And I think it's not a coincidence that he's the opposite guy, seeing as he's the guy who replaced Mitch Kupchak, right? And so I want to talk about a couple things here. So one, as I said earlier, the Lakers probably need to get a better grip on the things that Magic Johnson is going to say publicly, because the things he says does have ramifications. The Lakers are probably going to be investigated by the league office right now, purely because Magic mentioned a meeting or a story or made a story that had been dead for months, at least a month, if not months, plural, right? And that hurts the standing of the organization within the league office, where Magic hurts the organization in terms of the rest of the league is where he just kind of willy-nilly talks about other superstars. We're like, Mitch was very, very good at if in another player who was not under the Lakers' employ was brought up, he would say immediately that he could not talk about that player, right? If he talked about a Laker or somebody who might be available, who wasn't under employ elsewhere, then he would go into that spiel of kind of listing their tangibles or their measurables. But if it was a player who the Lakers would have to acquire via trade and was under contract elsewhere, he was very good at saying, nope, not going to go there. If you want to ask me about somebody else, then we can continue the conversation over there. But in terms of this specific player, I can't talk about that, right? And I think Magic needs to learn that. And he's a young executive, right? That was it kind of dates back to the conversation that Pete and I had a while back where I asked, are the Lakers, organizationally speaking, too young for the situation that they find themselves in? And I think, you know, we've talked about that from a basketball standpoint and the personnel standpoint and the way that the organization is being run and all of those things. But also from the media attention that the Lakers find themselves in. Look, we knew that ESPN was going to send out the Brian Windhorst and the Dave McMenamins, right? We knew that was going to go on. We knew The Athletic was going to saturate saturate press row with as many people they could get on the Lakers beat in various ways. The blogosphere between Silver Screen and Roll and Lakers Nation and all of those other, my own show, all of the podcasts that are out there talking about the Lakers, of course, all of these things are taking place. And I don't know if the Lakers, organizationally speaking, were ready for that type of that attention, even knowing that they were going to garner a crazy amount of attention as soon as, you know, in any given year, but especially with LeBron there. So I think this is an example of that lack of experience kind of showing itself. The last point that I want to make here about Magic Johnson specifically and the Lakers specifically is what the Lakers can't afford to have happen here is executives around the league growing so sick of the Lakers talking about other teams' players that they don't want to work with the Lakers in any way, shape, or form. We've already seen it in Indiana. We've seen it in San Antonio. We saw it now in New Orleans where these executives, whatever the reason might be, but for whatever reason, they say, nope, we're not going to, we'll send Paul George anywhere but L.A. L.A., you are asked to pay $1.10 on the dollar compared to what other teams are offering up, right? Same thing goes for San Antonio, where there were reports out there that almost specifically stated that the Spurs were not going to deal with the Lakers, and they wound up sending Kawhi Leonard up north to Toronto. Now here in New Orleans' case, Dell Demps did hardly engage to the point where Magic Johnson admitted that he didn't feel like they operated in good faith in these negotiations, and to which I would say, well, yeah, he it's not his job. It's not Del Demps' job to operate in good faith. It's your job to convince him to consider operating in that faith, right? And based on how things went, the Lakers didn't do that, right? Or maybe it was an impossible task in and of itself, right? And I think here in this case, now Elton Brand has come out and publicly and apparently privately spoken to the Lakers and said no hard feelings either way. We'll see how this league investigation goes. But for right now, we can given where the story is right now, where it currently sits, that the Lakers have not rubbed the Philadelphia 76ers in a negative way. But the thing is, though, there's a bit of a trend popping up here. And what the Lakers can't afford here is to have a league that already dislikes them, that the disdain for the Lakers predates Magic Johnson. It predates even Mitch Kupchak. The Lakers were wiping the floor with a lot of these organizations, and there's probably some built-up tension for the Lakers because of that, right? There's probably some jealousy that exists between smaller market teams that have to do everything perfectly to have a chance to compete with the Lakers, who have this small market and have been able to take advantage of that, who have a large market and have been able to take advantage of it, right? So you have all of these things, all of these factors as to why teams around the NBA are going to hold a grudge against the Lakers. And instead of like trying to make them feel more comfortable working with them, the Lakers are just like, yeah, I'm the bully here. I'm going to flex my muscle here, even though they might not have leverage to be able to do so. And you know, I'm not saying that that's what's going on here with the Lakers. I'm not saying that it isn't what's going on here with the Lakers. I don't think we have enough information on the dealings between Ben Simmons, Rich Paul, and the Lakers right now. I think we're going to get a little bit more of that if the league continues its investigation, which I think they are going to do, seeing as they were willing to fine Magic Johnson for saying that Giannis Antetokounmpo was going to win championships in Milwaukee, right? So, and look, the Lakers, people get frustrated at the Lakers having a different set of rules that they have to live up to here, but the Lakers brought that on themselves by incurring that $500,000 tampering fine for how things went in Indiana, right? That was the league finding actual evidence of tampering, and they fined them $500K, a record that still sits there, right? So we'll see how these things go. But what I think the Lakers really have to be cognizant of here, and Magic Johnson, highest among those who have to have this understanding, is you can't just brazenly opine for other team superstars when those teams whose superstar you're happily talking about are already nervous that you're going to take them anyway. And you know, hopefully soon the Lakers learn that negotiation strategy or that understanding of just basic public relations, not just with fans and the media, but also with those teams that they have to compete against. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Like I said, kind of a dumb day. We'll have Pete back on tomorrow to talk about hopefully some actual basketball and all of that. But for now, as updates come, I don't think we're going to get them. I don't think we're going to get an update to this that warrants an emergency podcast. But by saying that, I probably just promised you guys essentially an emergency podcast. Have a great rest of your day, though. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.